instrument of creativity and transformation. Without this world was nothing made. Join God's servant, Sonny E. Oluide, as it brings you into the reality of God's knowledge with utmost simplicity and clarity.
If we are asking the question, let's go straight to our question and ask our questions. So, questions. So maybe for now, I will give numbers. Beginning from here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's okay. So we get the first person.
Hallelujah. Thank you. My first question is this. How can God change his purpose or his plan for man? Example like Moses when he promised to take him to the land of promise, and when his disobedience comes, he could not get there. Can God's purpose or plan change for man? Number two, how can I renew my mind not to think of evil thoughts? Number three, how can I fulfill God's purpose for my life?
Hallelujah. God does not change his purpose for any life. And even though Moses did not divide the land for them, number one, Moses was of age. Number two, when you see the report, you will realize that God never changed it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The next verse quickly. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Next verse. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured and seen him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are seeing to do with drawn. Let's stop there. You will see that Moses, when God gave account of him, God did not give account of him as the person that God changed his plans for. See, now Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise. The reason is because it was the same Moses who asked God who will continue for him, who will take over for him. And God told him to pick Joshua. It means what happened is not because God changed his plan for him. If God changed his plan for him to have a victim, But let's go to one psalm and see something there. It was Psalm 74. Verse 20. No, 77 verse 20, sorry. 77 verse 20. Psalm 77 verse 20, not 72, 20, please. Now, thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. We cannot say Moses did not finish. He finished. Yes. Because when each catch up with any light, then what happens next? He has to throw the battle to someone else. And God now said that the spirit of wisdom was upon Joshua when Moses laid, because Moses laid his hand on him. It means what Joshua came to fulfill was a continuation of what Moses started. So it wasn't cut off at all. Deuteronomy 34, let's read verse 9. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as did as the Lord commanded Moses. So you see, in all the ministry of Moses, of Joshua, Moses is always mentioned. So we cannot say God changed his purpose at all. Because God does not change his purpose concerning any life. But man may decide not to cooperate with God at a point. Yes. God does not. Because again, Romans 11, 29 says, for the gift and the calling of God without repentance, God does not change. One man can hinder it. But God does not change. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God does not change. Is your question answered now? Uh-huh. The second one. What's your second question? We'll be asking one after the other. How can you renew your mind from evil thoughts? I will first begin like this, by renewing it from evil thoughts. Eh? Renew of your mind is your job. Everyone. Number one, you must know what is evil, and you must know how to keep yourself away from that. Number one, the first thing that must happen about evil thought is that you must hate it. Without hating it, it will be a little bit difficult to change it. Psalm 119, verse 113. 115. Psalm 119, verse 113 and 115. I hate evil thoughts, but thy law do I love. Now, what you hate, you will stop thinking of it. The first thing to renew your mind from evil thought, you must first hate evil thought. I hate evil vain thought, but I love. Do I love? Then the next verse 115 said, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Now, what you hate, you must destroy it. It's a normal thing. But if you don't hate evil thought, you continue thinking of it. Anytime, anything you hate, definitely, you will avoid it. Anytime that thought comes, you know, I hate you, then you have to turn it to go away. Now let me check another passage for us that may be a blessing to us. But the first thing is that you must hate evil thought. What you hate, then you will soon destroy it. Now, give us verse 37 of that same chapter. Verse 37. Verse 37. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Now, the first thing is that anything you don't want, you must hate it. So, we always avoid what we hate, and we destroy what we hate. So, the first thing you must learn for you to begin to say you don't want to think evil thought, first is that you must hate it. That next one. Are you okay with the answer? Or about to?
In like that evil thought.
Yeah.
Sometimes, despite the fact you hit, you don't even know when the thought comes.
Yes.
For instance, one day I was just going on the way, something just came.
Yes.
How about if you just die?
Yes, such things. That is why we are saying that. You go for what you love, right? Now, you say your love, I love. Now, when you load your heart with God's word, it won't be long. Those things will be discarded. By the time you say, what if we just die now? The next thing that comes to you, I shall not die, but live to declare the counsel of God in the land of the living. Immediately, you see that evil thought die now. Because evil thought can easily be discarded by speaking what you love, which is the word of God. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, it was a thought now. Not that Satan appeared physically, it was a thought. And immediately he discarded the thought by saying, it is written. The number of my days, God will fulfill. With long life, will he satisfy me and shield me in salvation. In the moment you declare those things, the next thing you see this one will just die. Yes. That's why the first thing is that when the child is born, for instance, what happened to that child? Why is he crying? He's crying for survival. He wants to feed. Now, and it were told in 1 Peter 2:2 that as newborn baby desire the sincere milk that he may grow thereby, we also must desire the world. So the more you desire, the more you go to the world, the more you, then all those things will literally. Do you know why? It is the word of God that can keep you away from all those things. Give us Proverbs chapter 6. We'll read verse 20 to 22. You know, evil thought is something that comes to everyone every second. But what you use to discard it now, at any time, is the word of God. Say, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So the first thing to do to avoid those things is to first feed your life with enough gospel. That's the key. Again, he said, thy word have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I think it's in verse 11 or Psalm 119. So let's read verse 9, 10 and 11. Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. Wherewither shall a young man cleanse his way? His way is a question. By taking heed, the answer came immediately. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, are you seeing it now? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I heed in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The word. Not only reading the word, you meditate on the word, then you speak the word. It's a great one, it's a big word. And you work with it. That's why it's called labor. See, labor for the meat. Which shall give us John chapter 6. From verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father said. To avoid evil thought, to stop it completely, you have to be addicted to the word. You read it, you drink it, you eat it, you speak it, you think it. Everything just pan around. Another.
The last one, sir. How can I fulfill God's calling for my life?
The first thing to fulfill God's purpose for one's life is to know why God gave you that purpose. You know, one reason why people deviate today or leave what God gave them to this, because they don't even know why God gave them in the first place. The first thing you must note in God's purpose is that you know that you are called to serve. Service. Everyone on earth, God created them primarily to serve others. With the potential of God within them. And this service must be delivered with joy and gladness. If the service is not the cause of rendering or fulfilling your calling, if joyfulness and gladness is not there, someone may have issues on the way. Because the best way and the only way to serve God is by serving people. When you see somebody say, I'm serving God. The best and the only way to serve God is by doing what? Serving others. So when you know that's the reason why you were called in the first place. What I'm simply doing now, I'm serving people here. That's the truth. Do you understand now? Matthew chapter 20. Already 26 to 28. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served or to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Are you seeing the issue? Please, can you give up? Do you have New King James Version or NLT? Give up NLT. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Service. But this service now is demanded that we serve people not with interior motive. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. Say, brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty as occasion. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Are you seeing now? Give us King James of that. Give us King James, yeah. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, what happened now is this. I'm serving God by serving people. Because God, I will say we are serving today. Have you ever seen him? Okay. Which best way to serve God? By serving others. First John chapter 4. Verse 20 and 21. 1 John chapter 4. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? The next verse. And this commandment have we for him, that he who loves God love his brother also. In the New King James Version of this verse 21, it says, must. Is there anybody that have New King James translation here? That verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. It means he that serve God must serve men. It's in serving people that you truly serve God. Because God, you say you are serving, we say we are serving. Have you ever seen him? You have never seen him for once. So serving others is serving God. So when you know that the primary reason why God called you in the first place is to serve people, then you are already on your way to fulfillment. Please give us NLT. And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. That's service. Service. But that service must be done with joy and gladness. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and 48. If you do not serve the Lord, see this, God will bless you the more. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. The next thing happened. That's what normally stops people from fulfilling destiny. That's 48 now. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until ye have destroy them. Not that God will destroy people, but we allow Satan to do that. So service must be render. Actually, this is what we give us. Give us Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Because I see many people today who thought that maybe if they are called to any field, the primary reason is to make money. No. It's to render service. To make people live in peace. To make people enjoy some kind of thing that God has given to you. Look at what it says. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. It means our service to the Lord is our service to men. So when you now do it in God's order, then He gives you reward. When reward comes, it's like a compensation to what you are doing. Then you see people today, they couldn't fulfill because they face difficulties along the line. The first question is, am I really doing this thing in the right way? You know, he told someone in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, he said to Archippus that, take heed that he fulfilled the ministry which he has received of the Lord. Now, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the law, that thou fulfill it. How will he take it? You must do it in order. You must follow God's order. Do you understand my point? Serving God is serving men. Let's assume that God says somebody should be in Janino, for instance. And he has opportunity to go to U.S. God will not stop him from going to U.S. But that man cannot fulfill destiny. Number one, what God said telling you to do in Janigo, if we go to U.S. to go and be doing it, he will be doing it with your own people. Then he will not enjoy the backing of God. Yes. These are things that normally happen. Because in every calling, there is also a place to fulfill it. When they call it down, he placed me in the east of the garden. So there is a place. So if someone is in the wrong place, it won't be easy for that person to fulfill the calling of God. It's a thing that you must learn. Do you understand now? Is there a question or answer? Which other one? Okay, thank you.
We'll take the next question here. We have questions from USA. Okay. From Ephemia Chika. He says, what are the outstanding things that can hinder man from God? That is number one.
What are the
outstanding things that can hinder man from God?
Okay.
And the second is, what are the differences between wisdom of God and wisdom of man?
Oh, let me start from the second one.
It's okay, sir. Wisdom of God and the wisdom of man.
James chapter 3, from verse 13. We'll read down to 18. Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, the difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God is this. Where wisdom of God is at work, envy will not be there. Strife will not be there. Everybody will be doing so. You won't be competing with anybody. The challenges we have today is because we don't even know. Many does not even know what they are doing. Yet they are doing something. Now, that passage gives us the clarity of the of this one. That the wisdom that is from God, first and foremost, is not for personal gain. Yes. God's wisdom from God, first and foremost, is not for what? Personal gain. That will give me, let me define this joy, the word joy, J-O-Y. The wisdom that is from God, first, is to please Jesus. That's J. Second, is to bless people, which is others. Then you are the least. Do you understand what I say now? Joy, I say, the first, when wisdom of God is at work, the first joy will be there. In the sense that your aim and objective is to please Jesus. Then, how do you please Jesus? By serving others. Then, yourself is the last. But when the wisdom of this world is at work, where the wisdom of this of men at work, they enslave people. I think we have read the passage like that today. See, the people of the world, they lorded over people. They were not leading people. A leader should lead people. But the wisdom of men forces people, lorded over people. People under such people does not have freedom. If they don't have anything that they will gain from you, they won't do anything. That's the wisdom of men. But the wisdom of God, you are doing something, knowing that you are doing it unto God and not unto man. Knowing that of the law you will receive the reward. So that's the clarity. So now, when men wisdom are in operation, you will see a lot of things going on. The rich will be oppressing the poor. The so-called leader will be oppressing the people they are leading. You ought not to be so. I think that question should be, that answer is okay. If it's not okay, we'll go further later. Thank you.
The first one.
The first one.
What are the outstanding things that can hinder man from God?
Yes, very simple. Colossians chapter, Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. Very, very simple. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Can you see now? The rejection of God's knowledge brings the rejection of man from God. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So rejection comes when somebody rejects the order of God. Let's say, for example, God says, stay in Janingo. But you have opportunity to go and stay in US, you go there. Actually, you have already rejected. You see, this matter is a matter that we trust God. The generation that we are now is the generation that are looking for immediate satisfaction. What they can gain now, they don't care about tomorrow. Now, there's a proverb that says, Proverb 14, I think 14 verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. Now, look at that. The way of death. Supposing the word of God say the beginning thereof, or the middle, it will have been better. The end. No. When things is not working to someone, instead of him to go back to God and ask God, why is this thing not working? He will be looking for another way to corner it again. That's a dangerous thing. So that normally brings rejection by rejecting what God said. How many of you believe that it was not Satan that make Adam and Eve to be sent out of the garden? It was because they rejected knowledge.
It's not Satan.
Satan only asked the woman, did God say? And the woman said, God said. He said, no, God did not say. Immediately, what happened? The moment she rejected what God said and agreed with what Satan said, what happened to them?
Rejection came.
So, what brings rejection to people's life is when they reject what God said. And one thing with God, it does not force anybody to do anything. Whatever God tell you, this is what I want to do with your life. If we agree, good. If we don't agree, it will keep coming to you. It's only Satan that forces people. Eh? I asked somebody say one day, he said, God told him that if he didn't go and preach the gospel, he will kill him. I said, it's not God talking. God is not a killer. No. God will just whisper to you, keep talking to you. That's it. So rejection comes when we reject God. Again, let's go to Proverbs, please. Chapter 1. Very important. Look, I read from verse 24. We'll read to 29. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. Can you see now? You have rejected all my counsel and will none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a white wind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. How many of you remember the story of King Saul in the Bible? What made God to reject him? Go and do this. He went there and do it halfway. Are you seeing that? So anyone that rejects what God says concerning his life and destiny, definitely he by himself or herself has signed a letter of his own rejection. Yes.
I want to believe Chika is satisfied with the answer. So we'll take our next questions from here.
Hallelujah. So I have a few questions to ask. The first one, how can I pray accurately and receive God's answers more quickly?
How can you pray accurately and receive answer? Good and fine. The Bible is complete. John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my ways abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me take it again. If ye abide in me, and my ways abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, the understanding of what God said, when the word of God fill your heart, then you will ask, you will pray rightly. Now, you will know what God has already done for you. You know, most of the prayer we see today, we hear today, some are still praying to God to do what he has already done. And God, some are saying, okay, what God tell them to go and do, they are telling God, God, do it for me. It doesn't make sense. So, when you are loaded with the word of God, you will know what to ask, why you should ask, and how to ask. Do you understand the word? Is your question answer? Okay.
The last question, sir. Sir, I want to know what is the realm of the spirit?
The realm of the spirit,
yes, sir,
is the realm of the word of God. Let's go. You know, there are a lot of things going on today that when I hear it, it's funny.
Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read from verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Look at the next verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Now. No, from verse 16, sorry. You see what this one is talking about. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Is it the same with what we read? It's only the grammar that changed. The other one says spirit, the other one says word. So the word of God is what? I'm asking. The word of God is what? So, you know, people capture, you know, I've seen people who have entered into demonic kind of realm when they forget the law of God. Excuse me. Did Jesus say that the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life? So, which spirit are you looking for? First John chapter 5, verse 6. No, this was spirit. Sometimes when I look at the way people talk about spirit, what are you talking about? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the spirit that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. Because the spirit is truth. And in John 17:17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. This is very simple matter. I will see the realm of the spirit now. When the light of the word of God shines into your heart, you get the understanding, you're already in the spirit. Okay, let's check Revelation. We'd like you to read very well. I'm not ready for reading for this question and answer. Revelation chapter 1. Let's read verse 1 to 3. Then we jump. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the word of God. What is John? What was it? Who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Please, let's go to verse 9 quickly. Go to verse 9. I, John, who also I am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. For the word of God. That's the point. You meditate on the word of God to a point, you see him clearly. That's the realm of the spirit. I don't see any that in. You know, unfortunately today, some people say they speak in tongues for many hours in the realm of this. Actually, I'm sorry. Is it a bad thing to pray in tongues? We do. But the word is what teach you. Where do you know that praying the spirit is necessary? What is Jesus? What name do they give to Jesus? And his name is called the Word of God. So, which spirit are we looking for? The spirit is truth. The word. But when somebody is void of the understanding of God's word, he will do any other thing. And one thing with our society and our generation is that even though if the devil come now, say, Tule is the devil, some people will still follow him. So please, anything you are looking for is in the word of God. Do you understand? Let me show you one example that will bless your life now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto men. This war that came now, that this brother spake here, did that war fall from heaven unto him? No. Go to Psalm 68, verse 18. You see, the issue is a serious matter now, especially the youth. Give them a microphone. Let's share with people now. They will be saying what you cannot hear. How you wonder? He said, why? He said, I'm in the realm of the spirit. Which spirit? I wonder why. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gift for men. Yea, for the rebellion also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Is it not this scripture that this brother brought to life? Eh? You are not with me. That is it. So the realm of the spirit is the realm of the understanding of the word of God. Simple. I'm not yet true. Because that's a great matter to me now. Please. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 35. But today now, the word of God is... It's alright. But in the next 5 to 10 years, let's know who is who. We know who is who by then. If Jesus started. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Where did Jesus brought this word from? It's from Psalm. Psalm 78, verse 2. You see, all things you see in the New Testament, they are in the Old Testament. The men who caught the understanding of the word of God in the Old Testament now brought it to light. Look at it. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter that saying of old. Is it not the same? What did Jesus use to defeat the devil? Do you know he quoted Deuteronomy? The question that the word that Jesus speak, did it just come directly to him from heaven or from you? I made a statement the other day here. I said, the man, the prophet of the old, they speak for God. But when Jesus came, he speak as God. There are two different. The men of God who are after God's heart, they speak as God. And it's only the word of God. That's why in the Old Testament, they don't say the law. But when Jesus said, you are hard before of old, but I say unto you. So that is it. So the realm of the spirit is the realm of the understanding of the word of God. Simple. Is that all? Next question. Is God blessing someone now? Did I tell you not to pray for longer hour? Go ahead, please. But make sure that you understand what God is saying.
Praise the Lord. Somebody is asking that he's talking about maybe betrayal. That why is it that somebody that you so trust so much, sometimes even a brother, and later such a person turns back against you.
Yes.
You still consider such a person a brother, or why should, if he is a brother, why should he do that?
Ah, that's good. It's a very good question. Did Judas walk with Jesus as brother? Did he betray him? Let's go to Psalm 149. Where the word 419 came from is Psalm 41 verse 9. Let's go there. 419. Psalm 41 verse 9. 419. Ye, my own familiar friend. You know the meaning of familiar friend? That your familiar friend has become your family member. My own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, we did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. It's not new. Not a new thing at all. It's normal. But the word of God gives us warning. In Jeremiah 17, let's read from verse 5. Thus said the Lord, curse thee the man that trusteth a man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Verse 6. For he shall be like the head in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Trust people. But one thing I normally encourage people is that don't be the one that betrays someone. It's better for people to betray you than for you to betray someone else. Now, we are all here by the grace of God. Our level of spiritual understanding are not the same. So our behavior cannot be the same. So what happened is this. If you are spiritually inclined, then it is expected of you, according to the word of God, that you should bear with the weak. In fact, the highest level of spirituality is where you get to a point whereby you don't criticize anybody anymore. If everybody behave the way they behave, based on the knowledge of the word of God they have. Galatians chapter 6 from verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The next verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think in himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceived himself. Let's stop there. Are you seeing now? Huh? Anything that does not have a foundation in clarity, don't expect anything good to come out of it. Yes. And again, hear this. Anybody that is moving closer to you, all your attention, your intention first and foremost is that, what can I offer to this person? What can I contribute to this life? Don't be thinking of what can I take from this person. No. If that is your this thing, it will be hard. And you know, as a child of God, before anybody will betray you, God will show you signal. And don't count the person as a devil. He's still a brother. Hallelujah.
USA. That how important, or what are the gains in serving in the house of God than to always just come receive the word, or to be a church goer? You come as an attendant, or serving. What's the importance?
Come with the question again. Read the question again.
Okay. How important, or what are the gains in serving in the house of God than to always come to receive?
the first thing they have to know is that the house of God or spiritual organization or Christian organization is a place of empowerment. When you come there and you are empowered, it is expected of you to go and empower others. That is the game. You are empowered in the house of God to go and do what? And empower others. You will see when there was a man. Give us Mark chapter 5. When Jesus, the madman of Gadara, at the end of it. Let's read from verse 16 down. Or from verse 15 now. When they find in his right mind. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Assisting now. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They are pursuing Jesus now. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with Jesus. But look at the response. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friend. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus has done for him, and all men did marvel. That's the essence of coming to the house. To be empowered and go and empower others. To be empowered and go and empower others. Okay.
What are the gains in serving?
Yes, the gain in serving. Let's go there. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 and 26. The gain in serving God has no end, both here and there. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Are you seeing the gain? There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Are you seeing it now? Then there is a reward you receive from God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 down to 24. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the law and not unto men. Knowing that of the law ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You shall receive the reward from God. Yes. And one thing I want you to know about the reward. Whatever good thing you do to any man, God will reward you. Yes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read from verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men please us, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Give us energy of that verse 8. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free.
Is it not better for me to serve a man and God will reward me? Proverbs chapter 11 verse 17. It says, a merciful man doeth good to his own soul. So when you are serving someone, you are actually doing good to yourself. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. So any good thing you are doing to any person, or I bet you with you, you will receive the reward. That is the game. And the game doesn't end on your head. It goes even beyond you. That was a case in Exodus 17. When Moses was on the mountain, the Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites. Joshua was their leader. Aaron and Hur was with him. Whenever the eyes of Moses is up, was up, then the Israelites will be winning the battle. But whenever his hands, when it was weak, the hands go down, they will be winning them. Then Aaron and Hur now decide to put stone ahead, one head this hand, another one head this hand. And Israel began to, that's a reward I want to show you. As a result of that, Exodus chapter 31, read from verse 1 for us. You will see a very powerful reward. What I'm benefiting today, I believe that is part of the reward of the service by my parents. That's just the truth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezali, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. This very Hur was the one. Now, the service he rendered to God by lifting out the hand of Moses, who is benefiting him? His grandson. His grandson. Is he only the grandson or the great grandson? I don't know what. Then, look at it. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. What a great scripture. And a cutting of stone to set them, and a carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. I think this is the first and the greatest attitude I've seen in the Bible. Because of the reward of one. So any service you render, okay, good. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. It will help you. From verse 1. The game does not end here. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may shew in kindness for Jonathan's sake? You know, Jonathan was a friend of David. Anytime the Saul King Saul attempt to kill David, he will go and reveal to him. Can you see now? If you read the remaining account, you see that anything you are doing today, as to the law, and to help others to succeed, all your lineage will benefit from it. That's the law. So the reward has no end. And at the end, eternal life, heaven is your home. Yeah, that's it. Next.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much, Daddy. My question goes like this. The children of Issachar in the book of 1 Chronicles 12 verse 32, they said they understand time and season.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, how can I know or understand God's time, either for my life or for my children or for my husband, in anything I'm doing? That's the first question.
God will make you know when the time comes.
Okay. That's why I'm
Isaiah
asking.
Chapter 60 verse 22. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. God holds the time, and when the time comes, you will know. It will make you know. Yeah. When the time comes, it will signal to you.
Thank you, Daddy. My second question goes like this. Sir, I'm a woman and I want to know plenty things about myself. Can a woman have a major ministry call?
Yes. We have a sample in the Bible.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong about that.
Okay, if a woman can have a major ministry call,
yeah,
there are some people that are just against ministerial call for a woman.
You cannot, because if you look at your Bible very well, let's go to Acts chapter 2. There's nothing wrong about that. God decided to choose whoever he wanted. So you are not, it's not in the hands of anyone. Can we read from verse 16? Well, let's read from verse. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servant and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Is that a ministry? Huh? What of the brother in the Bible? What of Rahab? Is that not a ministry? So, a woman can have a major ministry. There is nothing wrong about that. But when a woman who is married had a major ministry, he has to pray that the Almighty God should convince the husband as well. That is it. In our days, we've had a lot. In the days of Katie Kuman of blessed memory. In fact, I've never seen a ministry like that. And Joyce Meyer is still alive. So there's nothing wrong about that. But where the trouble will come now is, no matter the major ministry that a woman had, it shouldn't become the husband of the house. Yes. Because that's where it should be. Eh? You can't say because you have major ministry now, you don't have time for your husband again. If you talk, so you don't know that I'm a woman of God? No. Yeah, that's not the issue. That's what normally calls the issue. Eh? Do you understand now? There's nothing wrong about that. We saw the example in the Bible. Very, very well. Powerful one. Eh? It's okay.
Okay, sorry. I just still want to ask that I know of a woman, she has her own ministry.
Yes.
And the husband has his own ministry.
Different.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
So I don't know, is he really right?
Yes.
Because at times she may not attend the husband's crusade.
Actually. Eh? Actually, something is fishing. So certain ministry has a question mark. Do you understand now? Huh? There shall not be division. To the point that the two of them have different ministry, they should be able to come together. By the way, what is ministry? Is God's potential in you to serve others? If the ministry they have together, let's assume it's preaching ministry, the two of them have the calling. They can be rotating their pulpit. Do you understand the point now? But to me, I don't see anything about that. If he has gotten to that point, actually, they are living in divorce. And God hates divorce. So within the 7 days in the week now, this one has 3 days. That's a wonderful one. Eh? They should be able to come together. If it is one, like preaching ministry, aha. But if it is different profession, it's a different thing. But preaching ministry, this one have our own place. Guess there something is. Let's pray for them. Do you get the point now? Because God said, what God has joined together. So, such thing. Me, I don't believe in such because it's not in the Bible.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are believing God to help us. It's like we are racing against time.
Oh, that's good.
So this question says, when your spirit does not align with another person's spirit.
Yes.
It's maybe in terms of maybe hatred or so.
Yeah. In terms of hatred.
Is it a sin?
It's a sin because hatred is a sin.
Okay, when your spirit...
If your spirit did not agree with someone, it's a different thing from having a...
Okay, that is the question.
Now, if your spirit did not agree with someone, there must be a terms. Maybe you want to go into business together and your spirit is not. Or somebody want to make friend with you at all costs and your spirit is against it. All you just need is to pray in the spirit for some time. God will show you what to do next. Yes. Because immoral spirit itself can two work together except they be agree.
I want to believe the person appreciates the response of the servant of God in this aspect. Can what you consider as your talent be as the same as your calling?
No. Your talent is part of the equipment, equipping that God gave you to fulfill your calling. Talent and calling are two different things altogether.
And it was said that Enoch walked with the Lord and not see death.
You said?
Enoch.
Yes, walked with God and did not see death. Was translated.
How can I walk with God perfectly?
Excuse me. It's not Enoch that prayed that he wants to walk with God without seeing death. It's God that determined that. Eh? Just walk in obedience with God. I said something yesterday in our meeting. I said, it's not Daniel that deliberately went to the den of lions. It's conditioned that threw him there and God safeguarded him. But if somebody begins to pray now that, Lord, I want to walk with you. I don't want to see that till I translate it. Enough didn't pray like that. All we say is that, and he had this record, this testimony that he pleased God. Let's read that, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Our role in life, first and foremost, is to please God, and secondly, to bless people. So if God decides that you won't see there, he will translate you. It's his own business.
But the person added a second question to
me. Okay.
So he believes, or she believes, that it was because Enoch walked perfectly with God. So he is asking this question, how can I walk with God perfectly?
Okay. To walk with God perfectly is to understand how perfect God has made you. To walk with God perfectly is to understand how perfect God has made you. Knowing God is knowing whom you are. Knowing God is knowing yourself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 and verse 14. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. He had perfected forever. You know, in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, it says, be thou perfect, be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. Now, you will see that the perfection is not man's work. God perfected man by the sacrifice of Jesus. It is the duty of man to keep knowing that God has perfected him. It is then you'll be able to walk with God perfect. You know, today, in those days, they say, as holy brothers, you don't shake sister's hand. Yet we were not free.
to tell you that at that time they still believe in the law. Do you understand the point? They did not really know whom God has made them to be. But your first thing that you must know that you are already in this perfect God. That's the first understanding. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The reason why we don't walk perfectly today is because we don't even know that we have been made perfect.
Hello.
We have a certain church in those days, they are still doing it today. They will still go to the Lord, make me holy, make me sanctified. All of these are actually ignorant in disguise. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Knowing how God made you is what makes you to walk perfectly in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, when your spirit man capture this, then your mind have no option than to be educated by it. Then literally, you just see yourself walking perfectly. And the perfection of God, till we leave this world, we may not be able to attain to that 100% of it. Do you understand what I say now? Is that a nonsense to be sinning? No. But the first understanding you must capture is that to know God, who is perfect, equally make you perfect. It is with this understanding that make us to walk in a perfect way. Do you understand now? I don't pray for perfection because I didn't see anybody.
We read from the scripture that Christ came and died for us and took away our sins.
Yeah.
But why do believers find it difficult to stop sinning completely?
Lack of the knowledge of what Christ has done for us. Lack of the knowledge of what Christ has done. That's what we just explained. Now, the day you begin to see yourself the way God made you in Christ Jesus, then something begins to happen to you. Do you understand now? Or every mistake we make today is a result of lack of what? It's knowledge. You will see in the scripture, knowing, and we know. Knowing. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 11. It began with the word, reckon ye yourself. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are the one to reckon, you are the one to account it, to take whom God has made you to be. Do you understand the point now? Oh my God, you are not with me. Okay, good. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. This is a thing that you must learn. Issue of living right is by knowing. And knowing is a combination of hearing and understanding. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Has he done that? Yes. How many would believe it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you. Do you notice that? And such were. Not such are. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Am I the one to pray for justification? Do I need to pray that God wash me clean? Is that my job? Do I need to pray for sanctification? Who does that? What do I need to do? I take it. I praise Him. I think of it. Then I speak it. Because you become what you think and you have what you say. That is it. Knowledge. It's still the same. We are still eating this matter.
The fifth person.
Who's the fifth person? See this direction or this direction? The fifth person should be this direction. Please, are you gaining anything at all? That's okay. See them. Who's the fifth person, please?
Give brother Gideon. With you.
They say give to brother Gideon. Huh?
You can.
Praise the Lord. My question is this. How can I constantly speak right in my daily relationship with God and men? Constantly speak right.
To speak right.
Right, yes.
With God? With people.
To maintain my relationship with God. Like you said, for us to maintain good relationship with God, we maintain good relationship with people. So how do I
fellowship? Fellowship.
How do I say
fellowship?
Okay.
You were called primarily for fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Because it's in the fellowship you draw from God. Then what you draw from God is what you bless people with. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Then 1 John chapter 1. Let's read verse 3 and 4. It is the joy you derive from God in the place of fellowship that you share with others. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. It is the joy you receive from God you share with people. And joy only come by what? Fellowship. As you fellowship with God in His word and in prayer, then you will know whom God is, whom God has made you to be, His position and your position. From there, you begin to relate with God. That's how it works. You can't serve others that you have received from God. That's why the greatest commandment of all, thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is like unto you, thou shalt love thy neighbor. What does it mean? If you love God, you go to Him every day. If you love people, you go to them every day. What is the difference? You go to God to take from God, and you go to people to give them what you have received. That's just it. Our issue today is fellowship. The breaking of fellowship with God is what makes us to become enemy to one another. Because in the place of fellowship, you receive cleansing. So when you have received cleansing, as you be fellowshipping with others, they too will receive what? Cleansing. Let's read further now. Verse 5. We'll stop at verse 7. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Are you seeing now? But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sins.
the dealings, the grace you have received from God is what you share with people. Am I communicating? And this thing is at increase every day. The more you go to God and fellowship with Him, don't be misunderstanding the money of fellowship. Fellowship does not really mean that you lock yourself for money tonight. No. You may pick one word from the Lord in the morning, and that begins to ring in your heart throughout the day. And be always be ready. Whatever you have received from God, share with others. That makes that thing to multiply in you. Sharing brings what? Multiplication. That's how it works. But the greatest thing that any man will sin on earth is the breaking of fellowship. I wish all of us are guilty of breaking. Do you understand? The moment you break fellowship, you enter into something else. Then you go back again. One day I saw a certain man, came. He shared some things with me about what he has done in the past. And I asked him, for how long? He said, almost 10 years, or there about 8 years. And I asked him a question. The day you committed that thing that has been disturbing you now, do you ask God to forgive you? He said, yes. I opened the Bible for you. What did God say? I go to verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all. He forgives you and cleanses you. But if we don't know the scripture, Satan will keep bringing the condemnation that you are not forgiven. You were not actually forgiven before because you asked for forgiveness. You were forgiven for His name's sake. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. I don't know. Is God blessing someone? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. For His name's sake. It means before you commit that offense, forgiveness is waiting for you. Because with God there is forgiveness. But when we don't have the understanding, go to Psalm 130. Let's read from verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? It means no one will stand. But look at the next verse. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The next verse. I wait for the Lord, my soul do I wait, and in His way do I hope. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the moment, for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel open the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous of redemption. Many people today, what is destroyed there today is guilty because they lack the knowledge. Can we go to Isaiah 43? Verse 25 and 26 is one of the things that makes Satan to batter people's life. I am He that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. If God says will not remember your sin, who are you to remember it? Oh my God. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 8? Verse 12. See, I need somebody to receive his freedom right now. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It's Satan that brings those things. The moment you default, ask Him to forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you notice that? He is able to cleanse for all your... What is the meaning of unrighteousness? It means you are a righteous person. You have been made righteous. Who now got his thing? What happened? Okay, do you tear your club because he got his thing? What do you do? That's what the blood does. Do you understand? I should keep increasing in the knowledge of Him.
things of sin will literally die as you keep growing. Just keep growing. Eh? Keep growing. By the time I read about four scriptures to that man, when I said, let us pray, he says, I'm okay. The question is that, you see, this thing has destroyed many. Micah chapter 7. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 18. Micah 7. Who is a God like unto thee? Unto thee. That pardoneth, can you see now? Who is a God unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retained not his anger forever because he delighted in mercy. The next verse. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Actually, where your sin has gone to, you don't even know. Because the name of the sea was not known. Hello? If you want to know, go and study all the sea. And ask God which of it. Now, Psalm 103. I think this is a deliverance to some people. Let's read verse 10 and 12. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Somebody met me one day and said, you know he's suffering of this sickness because of his sin. I said, no, you are suffering because you're lagging on it. God never punished man for his sin. He punished Jesus for our sin. Jesus was the man that was punished. He was Isaiah 53, please. I think this thing caught my heart. Now, many of us, excuse me, let me ask my brother. Rona, I know you love Samuel very well, right? He's your son. That boy, since you didn't give birth to him, has he committed an offense that make you anoint? You break his head. Huh? What do you do? You say, don't do it again. Don't do nothing again. Have you? He will say, do it again. Okay, if he repeat it continuously, you now disown him. If you be man, they not disown your son because he messed up. Is he God? You see, there are some certain things we do. I don't know where we get all this doctrine. Some casual the doctrine of restitution. One boy will laugh. He was already a 400 level. Look at him. See now. 400 level. He said he had a message about restitution because he cheated all the help then of there about in wine. He said he wants to return. I say, look, if you want to do that, it's good. What of the knowledge you have gained? Will you return the knowledge? You see, we just do some foolish things. The knowledge you have gained, can you return it? The same Bible tells us that in time of ignorance, God overlooked. But now, he commands. Oh, let me finish this one. Please. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Kai. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your transgression from us. See, you can go to that act, chapter 17, verse 30. You see, the issue is this. The time you do it, were you born again? Four or five years old child, do they urinate at home? But when they reach 15 years, are they still doing it? What has happened? They have grown. We should encourage people to grow in the word of God. Are we encouraging sin? No. But God is not a killer. God is looking for more children. He sacrificed Jesus. You see, the children are now come to him and it's okay because he committed one thing. We are going away. No. No, sir. I don't see that in the Bible. At the time, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, overlooked, but now commanded all men everywhere to do what? To repent. And one thing I know, and I know it very well, and I will read it for you again. I love the word of God. Psalm 145, verse 14. You will see that most of the things that we just do today, people that will have been doing wonder, they will have performing wonder in God's sight, they have used their past to destroy them. In your life shall not be so. the law upholding all that for. Who upholding the that for? And raise up all those that be bowed down. The moment you are not yet dead, if Satan batter you now, God will quickly come. Proverbs 24, verse 16. The righteous man falleth seven times, and the bound man falls again. For a just man falleth seven times and raiseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into vision. It's a serious issue. And they talk about restitution. Eh? No. Is it Jesus that said, "Search us, you must do restitution"? From that passage, do you see any restitution in the New Testament? What, who said? Who want to justify himself? Was Zacchaeus born again? Because at that time, Jesus has not gone to the cross. He has not been raised from the dead. And the word of God said, Jesus is the first born. Okay, listen. And the man said, if he have done anything, he will restore his... How many times? Excuse me. For somebody stole 1 million naira in the office. After 10 years, you want to do the decision, he's returning 1 million. Some of them don't even return it. They will go and be begging. Did they tell you, go and beg? He said, return it 4 times. I don't know the kind of thing that we are just doing to be self-righteous and just... No! Excuse me. A certain man graduated for 8 years. He's working. He now had a message. I don't know where he had it. That restitution. He said he wants to go to his school where he graduated, that he cheated there. And I said, what of your knowledge? What of the salary that this worker sent you? What of the house you have? Are you returning all this one? Why are we deceiving ourselves? I'm asking you a question. Do you find it in the New Testament? You know that's the gospel that we carry up and down. It's not the correct one. I say to anyone that preaches, it's not the correct one. In the New Testament, you don't see anywhere they instruct the church to go and do that. And let me ask you, let me say this last thing. I see 1 billion. And after 5 years, I died. They bury me. Another person now come to stay in my house. Would they tell the person that is not living in my house to go and pay? What would the person say? The person that owns you, do what? The person that committed sin in you before you were born again, die. The person living here now is not the one who committed the offense. Go my way. Are you blessed? The next question.
Yes, sir. I see.
Okay. I think they have come here. You still have questions? Okay, good.
Praise the Lord.
How many of you are blessed in this meeting? It's okay.
Yes, sir. My second question is that, though it was the student that asked me the question,
it's okay.
I tried my best to answer based on my little knowledge good. I have. But I felt I wasn't satisfied with the answer I gave him, so I don't know if I can get more clarification on that. It says, what is the role or what is the relationship between the Holy Spirit and our soul?
And
our own soul. Our the Holy soul. Spirit and our own soul. There's a relationship between the Spirit of God and our own spirit.
Uh-huh.
Now, what is the relationship now with our own soul? Because man is made up of spirit, body, and soul.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Okay, spirit, soul, and body.
Now, your soul, do you know that your soul is your property? Sit down. Your soul is your property. Your real person is your spirit, which comprises of the conscience. Your spirit has a conscience. That's the voice. Voice of your spirit. He has intuition. And he has communion. That's where the Holy Ghost whispers to. But your soul is your property, which comprises of the mind, the will, and the emotion. The mind is where what you use to think.
You use the will to take decision. Emotion, you use it to feel. Eh? You see someone and just feel for that person. That's an emotion. But do you know that when you were born again, your property was not born again? Your mind, your will and emotion did not born again at all, at all. Now, when you are now born again, as you begin to feed on the word of God, that's where I begin to meditate on what God said. That's where changes will be occurring in your mind. Your thinking now will now be what? Be changing. Be changing. It is then that you are now, your soul now is now coming into alignment with your spirit. Your spirit now becomes the teacher of your soul. Why the Holy Ghost becomes the teacher of your spirit? Through the word of God. So when that happens, it will control your body. Am I communicating now? And when it controls your body, it will reflect in your environment. Do you understand now? So the Holy Ghost ministers to your spirit man through the word of God. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Shall man live. Eh? Matthew 4:4. Then, you see, in that, he was talking to your spirit man. In the scripture, is the interchange is sometimes you say your heart or your spirit. They are two, it's just spelling. It's made the same thing. So the role of the Holy Ghost is to educate your heart with the word of God. The role of your spirit is to educate your soul with the word of God. Then, which will reflect through your body. It will change your conversation. That is, it's a big work. That's why I say renew your mind. Don't be conformed into this world, but be renewed. Eh? Be transformed by the renew. Our major work is the renewal of our mind. The greater enemy that man has is his mind. Yes. Different thoughts are loaded there. Before you were born again. Now, for instance, if somebody do like this, what does it mean they're not? Without talking. He says it's an abuse. But to another person, he says he's greeting you. You may think he's just greeting you. But because of the mindset that when they do like this, they're abusing your mother. Then you start rising. No. Am I communicating? So if what we have loaded, you know, to offload is very difficult. You know, we have loaded a lot to our mind. Now when you now become born again, your spirit is like a child that was born. He has to keep growing. To demolish those things become problem. How do you know that when you see cobweb is a demon? Is it not your mind that speaks, though? How do you know that when you see blackout in the night, you begin to shout Holy Ghost fire? Is it not because your mindset told you that these are demonic, they say evil spirit pass through all those things to affect people? Abi? But in my own Bible, I didn't see that. I was once like that before God delivered me. Eh? Do you understand? I went for deliver in a certain church. The trouble I carry go there increases after 3 days fasting and prayer. Are you seeing the matter? And I realized that if I could fast for 3 days and 3 nights, and they pray all manner of prayer, and the thing continue in a very specialized way. And I know that deliverance is, I don't need deliverance. And I read, and Jesus preached deliverance. He did not do deliverance. He preached it. I began to learn. Not quite long, the thing just disappear. True knowledge. And I realized that it takes knowledge for the just to be delivered. Proverbs 11 verse 9. Huh? Don't mind. Anywhere we stop today, we'll continue next week. Next upper week. Eh? How many of you are blessed in this meeting, please? An hypocrite with his mouth destroyed his neighbor. But true knowledge shall the just be delivered. How could just need deliverance? He need knowledge. And that deliverance is not deliverance of his spirit. It's the deliverance of his soul. Eh? It's the deliverance of where? Okay, go to James chapter 1 verse 21. It says something in James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all fitting and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Are you seeing now? It is the word of God now that you are hearing, eh? That is now bringing what? Renewal to your mind.
From there you begin to think right. You begin to speak well. Just begin to go. So if you have been subject to fear before, and you read in the Bible, he has not given unto all the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. You declare, you think of it, fear disappear. You be nothing them out. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
That's all. Okay, thank you.
Moving on, though we have few minutes.
Okay.
What is the right thing to do in a situation where a church gave you an assignment and you feel God is telling you to do a different thing?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Then you pray and go and meet the pastor of the church and explain your assignment that God gave you to them. Yes. You pray, Lord, as you have given me this assignment, touch my pastor. Reveal it to my pastor. By the time you get to the place, this is what God said. And if your pastor say, wait a while. Wait. Do you understand the point now? Uh-huh. So church is not supposed to be a place where you cage people. Everyone on earth have a calling. Yes.
So in line with that, what is the difference between God's calling, God's purpose, and what you want to do in life?
God's calling and God's purpose are one and the same. But what you want to do in life, what you want to do, is a different thing entirely. What we want, we always like to do in life, always come out of ambition. But God's purpose is a vision, which only God knows. As when you become born again, you go to Him, He will show you. Do you understand the point?
Uh-huh. Sir, is there God's time in marriage?
Is that God's time in marriage?
Yes, sir.
If there is no God's time, why are everybody not married? It means there is time. Yeah.
How do we know?
Now, how do we know it? When the time call you, we know. Don't know why? You know, there's some question I said. There is time for everything because the word of God talks about time. God created time now. He said He made the day, the sun to rule the day. All of these are there. And in Ecclesiastes, in everything there is what? There's time. But don't misunderstand this as well. Some people actually miss their time. Because the kind of person they decide to marry did not come. The person that come does not look like that. I want to tell every one of you this truth. God's will for once in marriage and in destiny does not look attractive initially. Yes, it is as you enter into it, you started seeing the attractiveness. That's how many sisters have lost their husband. Maybe the man have no money when they come, say this man. Not knowing that he has a vision. And I used to tell young lady, don't marry a man because he has money. Marry a man because he has a vision from God. I used to tell them that if any man come to you for marriage, ask him, what did God tell you to do on earth? If he doesn't know it, that man does not fit for marriage. Because it's a confused man. When you follow a confused man, he confuses you. Do you understand now? And I said it again. Anytime any one of you that are looking, trusting God to marry, don't put idol in your heart. I need a slinger. I need a prayer. Don't do that. Because anything you place in your mind before you pray to God, Satan will use it. I'll show you. And so I will say, I saw myself fetching water from the well and the sister is collecting it with the bucket. No. And in a place, I say, praise the Lord, the sister is the first one to say hallelujah. But these are not the issue now. Do you understand? Do you understand? You are not with me. Oh my God. You see, there are a lot of things that we have seen today. Many marry gifts and talent, not God's purpose. Do you understand? And when you marry someone that is not your own, you misfit. When you carry misfit, issue day. And one thing with marriage is the dead, those parts. Do you understand now? So the purpose of God for one life, initially, it doesn't normally look attractive. Learn this today. As we enter into it, then it started showing you the great light. Do you understand the point now? Uh-huh.
So last week you spoke about a believer is the salt to the world.
Yeah, it's the salt of the head.
Yes. And it means it's just like a woman cooking people, and there's no how she won't add the seasoning.
Yes.
So I need more explanation.
You are created to add value to life. You are created to serve others. Every calling and purpose of God is primarily to serve others by establishing the kingdom of God in the heart of men. You understand now? So, why we emphasize on God that you have to understand it, what God called you to do is that God, what God called you to do, you won't struggle in accessing the wisdom of God to carry it out. But when somebody is in a wrong thing, he will be struggling to access the wisdom to carry it out. That's the difference. Do you understand my point?
So how do I blend academics with spiritual life?
Very well, very good. You blend it very well by hard work. What do I say now? Hard work. Actually, any child of God that is not hungry for knowledge, I doubt it. Because the first thing you note a child of God with is eager to learn. Yes. Proverbs 18, verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Are you seeing now? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. And the ear of the wise seeking knowledge. Knowledge. See, let me tell you, I tell the children every day, if you take second position in school, you have betrayed, you have denied Christ. Because Jesus cannot go to school and get second position. I bear with you. It means you went there to play. I don't see reason why you should not perform more than others. You understand my point? And now you have advantage. He that knoweth all things dwelleth in you. So to read and understand become easier. Because understanding has been given to you. Am I communicating? Understanding has been given to you. Every child of God has God understanding. It's just because they don't know. So to get something easy become easier. Am I communicating now? And that's what I was saying. Why? Is there anything that God did not know? Who is living in you? If he's the one living in you, did he know what the teacher is teaching? Did he know chemistry? What of physics? What of mathematics? So, you know, our people today, we are too, there are some certain things we do. Let me tell anyone of you, listen to this. Don't let me hear you that you're a student. The time you're supposed to go and attend your lecture, you say you are going to fellowship. Honestly speaking, you are not in that school first for fellowship. You are there to school. Go to your fellowship. Some of them will say, they have tests tomorrow. They say, they are escort, they have to go and pray. You will fail. excuse me. Don't use spiritual things to deceive people. Tongue talking does not understand what they are teaching you. You listen, you read, you practice. Am I communicating? Because I saw some people do. In fact, in our days, the FCS brethren, they are the ones that normally get the best carryover. And I wonder why. You have test tomorrow morning or exam tomorrow morning. You say you are going to 9VG. Which 9VG? Were you in that school for 9VG? What are you talking about? This foolishness of higher order. Or if you now go and read for your exam now, would they deny? Will you become a backslider? Don't let us miss things. No. Am I communicating? You have to read. You don't speak in tongues to understand things. You read to understand. You read to do what? To understand. And I told the children at home, don't say you know something. Read it again and again and again until it becomes part of you. And when you write your exam, don't go and submit until you go over it. And they are performing well. Don't know why. That is why. Proverbs 18 verse 9. No, I never think.
You know, this are things. Because if you are a child of God, you don't become the best in the school. You are behind the best. 18:9. Listening and just creeping with all the eyes. No. He also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great destroyer, a waster. When it is time for you to read, you are too lazy. You say you are going to fellowship. My friend, leave the fellowship. But go and read them. Some person, that was a guy, that a doctor. He wanted to, he has a patient to attend to in the hospital. His pastor called him and said, come to the fellowship. And I said, I have a patient to attend to. And it's very, very crucial. I need to attend to. He said, no, leave everything and come. Thank God for that brother. He never came. They are paying, he said, yeah, they are paying him for that. And he's working there. And besides, if I come to church, what do you want to teach us? You teach us to go and help people. And now I'm there to help this person. See, there's a certain thing. Let me tell you, no one is given dominion over another person. You only have dominion over the animals, not over human beings. Everybody has freedom. Don't use spiritual something to cage people now. If you don't attend the fellowship today, you disobey spiritual authority. No, sir. If you have important thing in your office, go there first. Am I communicating? A student has an exam, he did not read, and he failed. He said, God understand. God didn't understand your failure. He said, No. In fact, no, don't try that. Yeah.
Okay. We are going over to the other side.
Excuse me, please. Can we extend our meeting to the next 20 minutes? Please. How many of you agree? Please, if you have something to do, you can go. But want to extend it to, please forgive us, want to extend it to the next 20 minutes, if you can try around. Is it accepted? Thank you very much. Oh, yeah.
Thank you for the extension of time. So the microphone should be moved to the other side.
Oh, yeah, fast. Thank you.
Was there somebody from this side? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Some of my question has been answered. So I only have one question here. As a government worker, how can I practice the issue of first fruit?
Of first fruit?
Yes.
First fruit is the first thing they paid you. Let's assume you start work now. And they pay you 200,000. That 200,000 belongs to God. In the next 3-4 years, if they increase your salary to 250, you take the 50,000 and go and pay as your first fruit. That is the Bible. First fruit of your first fruit of your increase. Is that not so? So I didn't see year by year. I didn't see in the Bible. There is nothing, I've read my Bible about the matter. I didn't see year by year. Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs chapter. Why are they laughing? Are we in Proverbs chapter 9, chapter 3, verse 9? Hey. Honor the law with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. The first time you were employed, the first salary they gave you belongs to God. Then subsequently, when they increase your salary, there is the increase. You honor the law, you give God. But the tithe is 10% of your income. That one is every month. Do you understand? Why did God demand that? The next verse. I know some people will say this man has come. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. But where you fellowship, your denomination, if they say they bring all your salary every month, please go. Do so. No. excuse me. Hallelujah. Do you know? Let me tell you this. Listen to all of you. Listen to me.
You see, this world we have, one day we go live among. See, the first place, who is the first fruit? Jesus. Do you know it's an anathema for someone who is not a child of God to go and drop his first fruit? A church goer. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 18. Mammon. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. The next one. If only in the verse 20 quickly. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Who is the first fruit in the first place? Ah. See, what I explained to you, that's what Bible says. You are employed today, the money they pay you first one belongs to God. But when increase comes, you carry the increase. And you love God so much, you decide to say, okay, as they increase, the same salary of that very money increase it, you give to God. That's the problem. But to get it accurately is what I'm telling you. That is it. Eh? When you told us, bring on all your increase every year. Is it not the increase? Is that a routine matter? Next question. Is that question answer?
Praise the Lord. My question goes like this. In a family, take for instance a couple whereby maybe the woman or the man, one among them doesn't want to accept his wrong. Anytime that he or she is wrong, he will say that he is right. What would the woman do when the head is always the right, even if he's wrong?
Hey, ask to submit. And pray. And ask God to tell the husband to always agree. You know the problem we have in marriage today is that cow marry goat. Hallelujah. If two goat marry, what kind of thing would they give birth to? Goat. But when a cow and a goat marry, what would they give birth? See, the law of marriage I have studied in my own Bible is that God did not join two people together. God joined one person together in two. Christ in this life, Christ in this woman, when they come together, is one person that God joined together, but in two bodies. Simple. We Christ act in this other side with another Jesus, and Jesus will not agree. It means they are disagreed against themselves. There are some certain reality we need to strike out. So the woman have to pray, Lord, I have to ask you, after I need to accept my fault, the fault. We don't need to argue. It's my cross. But with time, God will touch the heart of the man. Do you understand now? Because the law of marriage is wife, submit to your husband in all things. Husband, love your. But this man is not behaving well. Why do you marry him? Do you not know that he's not behaving well when something is. So say, my age, you don't need to go over. Listen, you are paying for what you have sold. So pray. God will show you mercy. Do you understand? You know, now in our place now, they don't bring marriage. Couple doesn't come to her for counseling again. I'll just say it's okay. Because when we ask them some question, they know that this thing is not true. How do you see this person? I was fetching water, I was collecting it. I said, sit down. The next question.
Praise the Lord. So in Colossians 1:26, it talks about God revealing the mystery that was hidden from ages to this generation.
Yes.
So I want to know what that means.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Okay, sir. The second question is, how do
No. Read verse 27, you see that mystery. Verse 27. to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The next question.
So how do I know the will of God in decision making?
The will of God in decision making?
When taking a decision.
By taking decision based in line with God's word. Any decision you want to take, you first ask, where is it written?
Thank you, sir. Lastly, I want to ask this question. If having known what your purpose is, what God wants you to do, and you're walking in line with it to fulfill it, then all you see around you is discouragement and mockery and people telling you you don't even know where you're going to. What do I do in a situation like that?
You will do what God said. John chapter, are we in John 15? Discouragement. Who tell you that? Everyone that is called by God, discouragement is number one. In fact, it's the number one baptism. John chapter 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So when something happens, you begin to go and pray in the spirit and search the scripture what next to do. You don't listen to those things. Huh? They are distractions. You don't listen to them. All the way learn to face your front.
Do you understand?
Is that all? That's all.
For now, these are the questions that you said. Okay, you have one. And we have just few minutes to go. I want to believe that before we started, these are the people that raised up their hands for questions, and some brought in their questions on a piece of paper. And while the program was going on, many brethren came in, and I want to believe they too might have one or two questions to ask. Or for all that has been said or asked has been in line with their thoughts or their questions. But for the few minutes, I will believe that the fellowship will make out another time for us to come again for a session like this. But I want to say, let's have one more question before we round up.
Sorry.
Sir.
Praise the Lord. I am richly blessed. The question is this. How do I know what God has given back to me for? Or created me for?
Sorry, sir. Come again.
The question is this. How do I know what God has given birth to me for? Or created me for?
How do you know it?
Yes, sir.
It's okay. Let's go to the example of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Very, very easy. But unto the Son is said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness among above thy fellows. Now, what you love, there is something in you that you love to do. Not for money, not for anything. It's a pointer to your calling. Then, what you hate is equally a pointer to your calling. What you hate is what you are called to destroy. What you love is what you are called to establish. Simple. There is something in you that, let's assume that you are going out, there is something you may just see in the way. Maybe someone is doing the thing. Something just, no. It's a pointer. Do you understand? Eh? Do you get the point?
I'm richly blessed. I've not asked one question, but all the questions I've enjoyed them are they're in line with my thought and my desire. So we believe so much that another day will be created for us to come and enjoy such a session. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being part of this. And I hand over